Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am Colleen van der Zijden, and this is Lilydale Radio. As you are joining in, please do say hello so I can see who's out there. Let me know your name and where you're from. And as I said, I am Colleen van der Zijden, and this is Lilydale Radio. The name of my show is called Embracing Your Essence. It's all about you, who you are at your soul level, who you are, the essence of you. And every week on this show, I talk about different topics to help you become you, the best version of you you can possibly have. So as you are joining in, please do say hello. I would love to know you're out there. And tonight we are going to be talking about censoring ourselves. Not necessarily a topic we discuss regularly in this way, but there are so many times in our lives where we do censor ourselves and we stop ourselves from being our true self in various situations. And I'm going to share a story with you tonight about how I did that a few years ago, and it will be fun to talk about. Before I get to that, of course, I have to do the details. LilydaleAssembly.org. You can find out everything that is happening in Lilydale. The summer season information is not up yet, so you will not get that just yet. LilydaleAssembly.org and Lilydale Assembly Incorporated on Facebook is the official page, and you can find out everything happening. And while I'm talking about that, let's talk about what's happening this Saturday. So Tom Pretzley is going to be doing a workshop, Zoom online workshop, called Fundamentals of Remote Healing, and that is from 12:30 to 3:30 on Saturday. And Patricia Bell is doing a workshop called The Heart Speaks, from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturday. And you can find out about that on LilydaleAssembly.org. And I am, as I said, Colleen van der Zijden, and I'm a registered medium at Lilydale, as well as a certified intuitive life coach. And you can find me at ColleenVanderZijden.com or quick links like at MediumColleen.com. And my page, Colleen van der Zijden, medium and intuitive life coach, is official there. And you can follow me there. And I would love for you to follow me there. I got some big news today. Second group to know about it, but let me first welcome people and see who's here. Denise, Jessica, nice to see you guys. Pam, Lori from North Carolina, Danette, yes, Darlene and Julie. Oh, look at this, is just skipping all over the place. Nicole and Candace and Ray, thank you so much for joining me tonight. So my big news, oh, finally, here it is. Wait, I'm messing with my computer right now to make sure I can see all your comments as they're coming in, is my book is going to be out next week. Let me just show you a picture just so I feel good about myself right now, because I have been working on this baby for years. So here it is, Courageously You, Magical Mind Games to Get Unstuck and Reignite Your Joy. And it's full of strategies to help you handle the challenges of life, as well as to handle those critical, judgmental people who can get you down. There's lots of things in there to learn about, and they're very easy, practical strategies you can use. And so that is coming out next week. It should be on the 23rd. As soon as I have the link on Amazon, I will post it everywhere, and you will be the first to get it. It's very exciting because, as I said, I have been working on it forever. I did announce it to my mailing list today, and because I just found out today it was coming out next week, everything's not quite right on my website just yet. We have it ready to go, but we haven't turned everything on. So tomorrow, hopefully, you should be able to, if you want to, download the first chapter for free right from my website. So if you go there, it should pop up right on the homepage, right there, and it should say download the first chapter for free. And if I can make that all work like it's supposed to, or should I say my website person make it work like she's supposed to, and she will because she's amazing, I might even be able to post that on Facebook, but it might be easier if you just go to my website and do it there. So that's awesome. Yes, thank you for the congratulations. I know you guys have been with me on this journey as I have been doing this and talking about it for years, literally. My daughter says she's alive 26 years. She says I've been talking about it since she was born, basically. So this is a long time dream coming for me. So as soon as I have the links to Amazon and everything, I will post that everywhere, and you can just buy it if you'd like. The paperback will be out first. The ebook will be out within a day or two after the paperback. So it's coming. They're just finished fixing one little thing in there that I didn't care for. So that's what we're going to be doing and talking about. So, but tonight we are talking about censoring yourself. So have you ever stopped yourself from doing something because of another's opinion? I know I have. Have you ever talked yourself out of action trying to avoid making another person uncomfortable or causing discomfort? You know, maybe you didn't want to cause a conflict. Maybe you were hoping not to be judged or criticized, and it was safer and easier to stay quiet. I think so many of us have been there, haven't we, in different ways. And we have this certain misguided perceptions, and we end up censoring ourselves. And when we do that, we're hiding or denying ourselves. And thank you guys. I know, actually, I didn't even get a chance to tell you it was coming out, but here we are. Thank you so much for your congratulations, you guys. I am so excited. I just can hardly stand it. It's good to have a long-time dream come to fruition here. So anyway, we're talking, as I said, tonight about censoring yourself. So we are going to talk about how censorship, and that's hard to say, denies who we are, how it limits us, how it keeps us stuck in pain. And we'll also discuss some thoughts, of course, on how to break free so you can return to your authenticity. And as we're going, feel free to make comments as we go. If you have questions, you have a thought you want to share, maybe a time where you censored yourself and you realized after the fact that it wasn't the best choice, feel free to get it right there on that page and we can talk about those things as we go. Now, we do not have to allow other people to tell us who we are and how to live. So it really is time for us to stop censoring ourselves, to become more aware of when we do this. We don't have to limit ourselves, and we don't have to try to keep other people satisfied in order to keep them happy or meet their expectations. So what I'm going to do tonight first is to tell you a story from a few years ago where I fell into the trap of censoring myself. And it is in my book, which I just mentioned. I'll probably mention 100 times because I'm so excited. I haven't told anybody in my family yet it's coming out. But anyway, so it is from my book, and it is in there. The purpose of this story is to show how easy it is to fall into that trap of self-censorship and not even recognize that we're doing it. And I didn't recognize it till after. So I am going to share that with you tonight as we go. So a few years ago, I was asked to speak to people at an assisted living facility. And after a few emails, we settled in on the topic of stress relief. You know, it's something that all of us could use. So the person who hired me knew me through my work at Lilydale and knew I did mediumship and energy work and spoke on all sorts of self-empowerment topics. She knew about me. So I asked her, you know, if this was a assisted living facility, would the audience be open to like stress relief from an energy angle? I would talk about how to reduce your stress from the energy perspective. It would be a little bit different, you know, than the normal eat right, sleep a lot, you know, get exercise, all of that relief messages that we usually get. And she thought that would be fine. So I prepared the lecture, the speech, as I normally might. And then a few days before I was to speak, I got a message from her saying that her bosses wanted to be very clear that I was to be focused on the stress topic and not touch on mediumship or any areas our conservative people would not approve of. And it turned out that this assisted living facility was run by a traditional fundamental Christian religion. So she apologetically told me I could cancel if I wanted to, but I'm a person who likes to follow through on my commitments. So without further self-consideration or thought, I didn't check in with myself. I said, no, I won't cancel. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll just make some slight changes. No problem. So I asked her if I could talk about vibration. I had titled the talk, Stress Relief Through Vibrational Shift. So she thought that might not be a good idea because that sounded a little bit too woo-hoo-y there, you know. And so then I asked about the word energy, and I said, could I use the word energy? And she thought so. So, of course, I've already got my lecture prepared. I know what I'm going to talk about. I planned everything. So I went through my notes and just made a few changes in the words. I wanted to make sure I was using the word energy in a more generic way and not talking about how we might do energy work in healing or how negative vibrations affect our bodies or those kinds of things, which is what I probably normally would have said, right? So So I've talked about stress relief a lot in a lot of different places, and usually mediumship doesn't come into it. But it's always possible, and if you've watched me before, you know how sometimes something just comes into my head, comes out of my mouth. So I could, as I'm talking, all of a sudden I might casually mention something like healing or mediumship or vibration, because I like to let the natural flow just come through me so I can be inspired as I speak. You know, I might have a good story pop into my head and I want to share it with the audience to illustrate a point or something, right? So as I arrived at the facility to speak, I was really concerned about having to censor myself. Now, at that time, I didn't realize that's what I was going to be doing. In my head, I was just going to be changing a few words, you know, to accommodate them. I was trying to be helpful, you know. So I was a little concerned about having to watch my words. They, number one, weren't my normal audience. I don't think I've ever, except for this one situation, ever spoken to a conservative Christian group before. So I might have started at a bit of a disadvantage because, as you can imagine, I did grow up Catholic. I'm not Catholic now. I am a spiritualist now, and I've been at Lilydale for many years. So this isn't my normal audience. So I probably started a little bit of a disadvantage there. So on top of that, as I was talking, the audience, they were rather unresponsive. They were unexpressive. There was no smiling. There were no laughing at any of the jokes I said, nothing, like nothing. And there were no nods of understanding. Because normally when you're talking to somebody, people will look at you, they'll respond, they'll smile, nod their head or something, right? I was getting nothing. And as I was talking to them, there were so many times where I didn't feel like myself. And I was really struggling to connect with them. For me, when I'm speaking, I'm feeling the energy of the room at all times. Even when I'm doing something like this, I'm feeling the energy. And I like to follow that flow. And as I was talking to them, the energy just really didn't feel very welcoming, number one. We did not tell them I was a medium or anything like that. That might have offended people. But as we were talking, I was not getting any kind of reaction that they even heard me, like, at all. It was really scary, actually. And as I was doing this, I started to a little bit, I was kind of panicked in my head, actually. So I was starting to recognize that I was feeling very disconnected, you know, and I was doing everything in my power. Normally, if something like that happens and I don't feel connected for whatever reason, Spirit always guides me and shows me where to go. But I was so panicked, I don't even think Spirit could have got through my head. So as we were doing this, I'm going to backtrack a minute. Let's talk about what censorship is. The definition of censorship, as we know, is a suppression of speech, public communication, and the official one, or other information on the basis that such material is considered objectionable, harmful, sensitive, or even, in quotes, inconvenient, right? So we all know that when others censor us, you know, we hear about countries where people are censored there. We know it limits ours and their freedom when we're censored by others. But when we censor ourselves, it's more than limiting our freedoms. It's actually limiting everything about who we are. When we censor ourselves, we don't express ourselves authentically. We end up watching our words or actions like I was doing because I was trying to appease someone else. And we're presenting ourselves in such a way to get approval. We want people to see us from a positive light. We want them to like us. We want them to think that we're okay. Right? But what happens is this limits our growth as a person, and it's limiting our opportunities and our expression, the expression of who we really are. And it's like we put ourselves in this box that blocks us from creating our best life. And this is, of course, never good. I'm going to look at the comments for just one moment. Baba Yaga, I've been censored from trying new things for so long in my childhood that it's become a behavioral pattern in my adult life. And it's hard to break free. Those are the words I'm using tonight, break free. I find it more of a mental block than anything else. And it usually is a mental block when we censor ourselves. There's something that has to shift up here in order to change this. And I'll talk about that in some different ways. And you've already got good awareness there, so that's going to help you. So back to my story. As I was speaking with my inner panic going on, two people came into the room and they were intently observing me. they were not smiling. They had their arms crossed and everything and just staring at me the whole time. And it was obvious they were the administration. It was obvious they were there to check up on me to make sure I followed their rules and didn't break their rules, right? And I recognized them. I saw that they were there, but I was more concerned at that point with connecting to the audience. I didn't have time or energy to be offended that they were judging me, and I couldn't worry about it because my sole focus at that time was communicating with the audience while trying not to overstep these boundaries. So I continued on as best as I could and made it through, and I did get them smiling a little bit later. One way I ended up cracking the energy in the room, if you will, is I told this horrible story about somebody who had died, and for some reason that kind of got them more open to what I was saying. So when I finished my talk, one person came up and told me it was very nice. The administration just walked out of the room. The person who hired me came up and told me she thought it was wonderful, and I was exhausted. I got in my car to go home, and I put my head on the headrest behind me and immediately recognized that I had made several mistakes in doing this talk to begin with, but that this was a perfect learning opportunity. Myself, my own choices brought me this situation so that I could be reminded of the importance and the value of speaking my truth and knowing and being who I am. Censoring myself had basically severed the connection to my soul. I was not connected to myself at all. Because I didn't want to cancel, I went into that lecture knowing I had to suppress and censor myself. I was so concerned about offending people in my little talk that I didn't feel natural and I wasn't myself at all. And you know how when you're talking to somebody sometime and you can tell when they're not sincere? You know, they feel like you feel like they're giving you a line. They might be speaking the right words, but they're giving you a line. It's because the energetic connection isn't there. They're not themselves. Or somebody who's putting on a big act that they are a certain way when we all know they're really not. You know, sometimes people have fake personas. We know that. We can feel that energetically. So it took a little while for me to get past that for myself. Now, there were these three mistakes I made, and the reason I tell you this is that you may have had some situations in your own life where you can recognize now that you also went into a situation that you shouldn't have, where you also censored yourself for various reasons. And I'm going to talk about the different ways we do censor ourselves, the different situations that we can be in where we find ourselves censoring ourselves. And I want to talk about this because it is easier to break this and break free of this if we know what's happening around us, who's saying what we are doing and all of that. So the mistakes I made, the first one was when my friend who hired me asked me if I wanted to cancel. I didn't stop and check in with myself and discern if I really should follow through with my commitment. Now, after the fact, I can look back and I can see the reasons why I didn't follow through. I didn't want to cause an inconvenience, okay? I was putting other people's needs ahead of my own self and my truth. I didn't want to cause an inconvenience to the person who hired me, and I also didn't want to say the wrong thing to get her or me in trouble, okay? So I just wanted to do the right thing. So what was happening is my people-pleasing tendencies were coming out. I'm the kind of person who likes to follow through with my commitments. If I tell you I'm going to do something, something big is going to have to happen for me to change my mind and say, sorry, I can't do it. That's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes we do have to say no after we've said yes because it's best for ourselves, best for our energy. So I'm sure there may have been times that you might be able to relate to something like this where you have said yes when you should have said no. Now what I do when somebody asks me, and I've been doing this for years and I've mentioned it previously, is I will always say I have to check my calendar and then I take a day to sit with it and see if it feels right, okay? And my initial impulse is usually to say, yes, I can help you because I want to be helpful. That's what I do, right? I want to be helpful. So my first mistake was I didn't check in with myself. The second was not recognizing that doing that lecture within the parameters was going to be a bad idea. I believed I could do it. And what that meant was I was further just denying who I am and how I work. My focus had become staying within the boundaries rather than on the point of giving the audience helpful information. Yes, I was still doing it. Yes, I was trying to give them helpful information. It wasn't like I threw it out the window. So I was still doing that, but the authenticity wasn't coming through. Then after the fact, my third mistake was beating myself up over it. How many times have you done that, where you beat yourself up over something because you should have known better? I should have known. And these are the things I said to myself afterwards. I should have known this was going to be a bad situation. I could have recognized my people-pleasing tendencies were influencing me. I should have known what my boundaries were. I should have been in my power, and I should have recognized that I could change my mind and say no. I should have known what would happen if I wasn't myself. Okay, so I ended up beating myself over that. So just compounding it. But being who I am, of course, I'm always looking for the learning opportunity. And when I look back on that time, that experience, which was so valuable actually, because there are many times we don't recognize we're censoring ourselves. We don't recognize it until after the fact. And that's okay. Because if we are aware enough, we can take that information and move forward. When we censor ourselves, we're limiting ourselves. We're limiting the expression of who we are. We will feel out of balance. For me, I felt panicked. We could feel uncentered, unnatural, because we've disconnected from our power. Now, here is something Ashley's saying so many times. It didn't feel right to begin with, so why did I do it? And so on, right? And that's what we do. And, you know, especially caring people or empaths, as many of you are, or sensitive people, you know, we want to make things easier for people, so sometimes we do say yes. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do, okay? We're censoring ourselves that way as well. Now, I want to be very clear on this, because sometimes people think that when something happens in our lives where we censor ourselves, that it's other people's fault or situation. So I want to be clear that it's not other people who are censoring us in these cases. We are censoring ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves. We are the ones who allow ourselves to conform to other people's expectations. We stop ourselves from being ourselves. We stop ourselves from speaking our truth or doing those things we want to do. We certainly have had situations that have contributed to our self-censorship, but ultimately, censoring ourselves is our choice. I could have disowned my responsibility in this situation and blamed the administration for my feeling disconnected or how they made me, in quotes, feel, or how unfair it was they were limiting. But blaming them for something is a sure sign that I have let go of my self-responsibility and I'm back out of my power. I'm looking to see what Lori says. I always thought of censorship as being told I could not say something that might offend, like saying a bad word. Doesn't spirit put us in situations for a lesson? Yes. Sometimes censorship is for good reason, and I don't even like the word censorship anymore, but sometimes, yes, we do want to, you know, be polite, treat other people kindly and those things. Certainly, there are certain offensive things we might say or do that could cause harm. So censorship, though, is also when we change something about ourselves, maybe to please other people, to make sure that we're not offending them. And that doesn't mean sometimes, you know, this is going to be a little tricky for me to make sure I say this clearly. Sometimes we need to speak our truth, and it can hurt people's feelings. Sometimes we have to speak our truth, and they may take it as an offense, but what you're trying to do is be authentic and genuine with the other person. So offensive, the definition of that may be subjective based on who is on the receiving end of this. Of course, if we're going to say speak our truth, we want to do it diplomatically. We might want to do it kindly. Sometimes we do have to be blunt depending on the message we are giving. Also applies to if we don't do something, say you're in a relationship issue and you're not speaking your truth there because you're afraid it's going to make somebody uncomfortable or cause a conflict. That's a censorship where you're limiting yourself. So that's the kind I'm talking about tonight, that kind of censorship where we do it because we are responsible for ourselves and we limit our expression and who we are. Spirit does put us in situations for a lesson, yes. And in this case, that was my lesson. That's what I learned. I learned that when I censor myself and I'm not living authentically, being my true self, that I will feel a certain way, disconnected, unbalanced, and that in my inauthenticity, I will not be able to make those strong connections that I might have been able to make otherwise. It's a very interesting thing when we do this. So when we are censoring ourselves, the key here to breaking free from this is the awareness of when and how we censor ourselves. Sometimes just being aware that we're censoring ourselves is enough to instigate a change. With awareness, what ends up happening is you make a simple decision to reclaim your self-responsibility. As I was saying, no one else is censoring me. I'm censoring myself. And if I'm allowing somebody to censor me, I am not in my responsibility. Okay, then I have different choices I need to make. So what you want to do in self-responsibility is check in with your truth, or the part I missed. You want to check in with your truth. What is true for you? What is it you really want? What is it you really want to say? What really is your boundary? What is acceptable to you? What is not acceptable to you? It's all based on your needs, your wants, your truth. And then what you do to make those new choices is you choose to honor who you are and what you want, and you go in the direction you need to go in. Darlene is saying, seems there's a fine line between censorship and being courteous. There is. If we are, lots of times when we self-censor, we're unaware. So if we are aware that we are not speaking something, we're intentionally not speaking it, we know why we're not speaking it, that's not necessarily self-censorship. That's making a decision on how you're going to communicate, and you're living intentionally. When you're living intentionally, you're in awareness. Self-censorship is usually unawareness when we do it, okay? So we want to be aware. When we're aware, then we become responsible, we check in, and then we choose how we're going to move forward. So some of the different situations, I'm just going to list a few here to see if they make sense to you. Because there are so many times we don't even know we're doing it. Back then when I did that little talk, I would never have thought I was censoring myself. I never would have looked at that until after is when I recognized what I was doing. So here's a very simple one. You come across a friend of yours and they got a new haircut and you don't particularly care for it, right? Okay. It depends on how you're going to say this, right? It can be, if you say you really like their hair, but you don't, that's censoring your words. But if you're aware, and you're really aware of how you're feeling, and you say to yourself, I'm not really caring for that hair, but instead what you might say is, your hair really captures your personality. I can see that you very much enjoy your hair. I see that you love how it looks, and it fits your personality beautifully, or whatever it might be, okay? So there is a fine line here, in this case, between courteous and censorship here, right? The bigger one is when we censor our words because we don't express our truth to ourselves or others. Lots of times we don't even know what our truth is. We have to figure it out, and we figure it out by our situations, the things that happen in our lives, and we can look back and go, oh, I get it now, I get it. Okay, maybe we fall into that people-pleasing habit or the avoiding of a conflict. Maybe we don't trust ourselves to speak our truth, or maybe we don't believe we deserve to speak our truth. You might have a relationship issue, but your partner has managed to convince you that your thoughts are irrelevant or wrong. Okay, that doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make you having done anything wrong. But you know how it is sometimes. We get a gaslighting person in our lives or something like that, or somebody who borders on abusive. And they chip away at you, and eventually you do start to lose your balance. You lose your self-confidence. You're out of your power because you got somebody around you energetically making you feel unbalanced. So maybe they dismiss your concerns, or they minimize how you feel or what you're saying. And I would bet a lot of you have been in that kind of situation. So what happens here is an unaware censorship. We stop talking because we're unsure. We have doubt. We may not really even know how we feel. So we censor our words because it's easier than it is to be true to ourselves, or easier to figure out what it is, or easier than standing up for ourselves, that censoring ourselves. But we can look back on those situations and we can start to figure out, okay, that's what I was doing. I get it now. So as you become stronger at checking in with yourself and finding out what's true for you, knowing that truth, it becomes easier to choose to speak your truth. When you look back on those situations, you can use it as a learning opportunity and say, oh, I see what I did there. I censored myself because of this and this and this, but now I understand. I understand it wasn't my fault that my self-confidence was chipped away, okay? So there's lots of different ways we do things. Another very strong way that many of us censor ourselves is we censor our feelings. We don't cry when we want to. We don't want to feel certain feelings, so we push them away. So in censoring those, our first action step would be to acknowledge them to ourselves. We want to check in and see how we're really feeling. And we want to have integrity and really, really open to them. We want to allow them to be where they are and what they are. And what may happen is as we open to those, it could lead us to our truth. We'll understand this more. Or you might discover some of the meanings that you've given to certain situations that maybe are disempowering or even false. You might be able to discover those things. Your emotions can lead you places. But if you don't explore the emotions, open up to them with that integrity. If you automatically cut them off and you censor them, I don't want to feel that, I'm not going to feel it, and you put it aside, you're blocking what could be a really awesome opportunity to figure out what your truth is or to see what the message might be within the emotions there. So we tend to also, so in the emotional sense of censoring yourself, you first want to acknowledge them, of course, become aware, check in with yourself, see what you're really feeling, and see where it leads you. We censor ourselves when we allow others to influence our actions. Sometimes that is so unaware. I had a friend once who refused to put an air conditioner in front of the house in his son's bedroom, and the window happened to be at the front of the house, because you don't put air conditioning, this is in quotes, you don't put the air conditioner at the front of the house because what will other people think? It's not acceptable. So we have all picked up certain beliefs or standards from society, and it doesn't make a difference whether they're true or not. If they're influencing us and our decisions in some way, we are unawarely censoring ourselves. That makes sense, sort of. So we're censoring ourselves in that way because it's influencing. These unaware beliefs are influencing us. For my friend, his perception of societal judgments, societal beliefs, was more important than his son's comfort on a hot summer night. So what we want to do is we check in with ourselves so we can find our own truth. And we start to realize with that society has imposed certain beliefs upon us. But we have a choice as to whether we're going to accept them or not. We don't have to. They don't have to be a source of self-censor. We can then take action that is authentic and genuine to who we truly are. When we spend time with people who are judgmental and we don't protect our energy, maybe we're not aware, maybe we haven't planned ahead, we're not sure what to do, maybe we don't want to cause that conflict, whatever it is, when we spend time with people and we don't speak our truth, if it's without intention, if we're with intention, totally different matter. If we're without intention, we are again censoring ourselves. When we censor ourselves, we'll find that our connections aren't sincere. They're not authentic. The energy isn't there. You know when somebody gives you that smile and you know it's not heartfelt, they just go, it's like you can see it, you can feel it. It's the same thing. How can we all be authentic unless we have to be in alignment with who we really are? That's how the energy flows. It flows in our alignment. Okay, I'm going to look at the comments for 2 seconds. I really just like when someone asks me how I feel like, or can see that I'm upset and they proceed to tell me I shouldn't feel that way. Oh, I hate that. Oh, Cindy, I hate that. Yeah, right? Like, what right do they have to tell you how to feel? And what might happen sometimes in that case, if somebody says that to you, then, you know, I don't know if it works for you, but I know in the past for me, when somebody has said that to me, what I do is I shut down my feelings. I don't trust them anymore. I think maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe I'm too sensitive. And so then I shut them down, and then I'm not paying attention to them. So then I am censoring myself in that way. You know, and it is easy to be influenced by other people. We spend our whole lives trying to keep other people happy, trying to please them, trying to belong and fit in. We've done that. And some of our longstanding habits that are hard to break sometimes, but with awareness, that's how we do it. Darlene, socializing with certain people because of their ideals and beliefs, is that self-censoring? That is self-care, Darlene. That is self-care. That's censoring with intention and self-care in mind. So we have, I guess, what's boiling down to now is two forms of censorship. I'm talking more about the limiting form of censorship where we don't show who we truly are. Then there is more of a limitless, intentional, I'm going to call it, censorship, where we intentionally choose how we're going to show ourselves to people. And that is definitely self-care. If we were more unaware and we're with people whose ideals or beliefs are not in alignment with ours, if we were not aware, what might happen is we might censor our morals and values. You know, when we were younger, we might have gone along with the crowd, right? It was safer that way. We wanted to fit in, you know, peer pressure thing, okay? So we would censor ourselves that way. In this way, this is more living with intention. What we want to do is become as aware as possible about our needs, what we want, what our thoughts are, what our ideas are, who we truly are. And then what we're doing is that we, with awareness, we're stepping back into self-responsibility, which means we're stepping back into our power, which means then we're living intentionally. So we want to choose to live as intentionally as possible. Living with intention means we become aware of those times where we self-censor without necessarily paying attention to it. It just happens. We want to pay attention to those times where we feel uncomfortable ourselves or where something happens in our lives and we go, where did I go wrong with this one? What should I have done differently? Is there a lesson to be learned here? Am I doing something that limited myself in some way or that stopped me from expressing myself as authentically and genuinely as possible? So we can use that in a way. So looking back on those times where we may have censored ourselves or where we recognize it's a habit to not speak our truth, but it is without that awareness, okay? There are different times now. If you're in a relationship with an abuser, okay, and you're still there, and you know that you can't say something because it's going to set the other person off, then that is intentionally censoring yourself so that you are not going to get in whatever trouble that might cause, okay? Back to self-care on that one. Ashley, small talk with someone who isn't authentic is physically painful. It is, because people who aren't authentic, the energy is not there, and you can tell they just don't care. People who are authentic and are doing their best to live with intention and awareness, living and showing who they really are, expressing it, their energy is different. It's more open, so the connection is easier to be made, and it's just more fun. It's just more fun talking to somebody who is authentic and genuine. Diane is saying, and I have to click on that. I went for years on the outside looking in with so many people and situations. It took me years and years to remove the toxins and start being true to myself. This year, my focus is staying true to myself and learning to love myself for exactly who I am. This is really hitting home. And it is, thank you so much, Diane, for sharing that, because it is so important, and this is my message all the time, of course, is to be yourself. And it can be a challenge sometimes to let go of those old patterns. It can be a challenge to come up with different ways to respond to things. And it's always very interesting to me when somebody says to me, particularly in a workshop or something like that, would say, well, I know who I am, but yet they are blaming other people or situations for why they feel horrible, or yet they're blaming why they can't do something on somebody else, or why they say to myself, well, I know who I am, but I can't do that. It's not going to work. It's impossible. And I'm thinking, you don't know who you are, because if you knew who you are, you would know that you have the limitless power within you and that nothing can stop you from creating that life you love. You can have anything you want. And every week on this show or anywhere, I'm always helping people peel back the layers that have blocked that expression of who you are. Talking about censorship tonight, self-censorship, and how it has affected us maybe unknowingly without awareness, and how we can just, it's just another avenue to look at ourselves and go, oh, I get it. I see what I've been doing. Because the more open we are to how we experience life, how we handle our challenges, the willingness we have to change what we've always done and look in a new direction, all of those things together helps us reconnect with our soul and who we truly are, which helps us release those toxic people and situations. Just because you're an amazing, loving, kind, and caring person doesn't mean you have to put yourself in harm's way. Doesn't mean you have to have friends who belittle you or judge you. Doesn't mean you have to love everyone. You can love someone enough to let them go. There are people out there who truly are have personality disorders and things like this, and no matter what you say to them, you will never be able to get them to look at life from a different angle. And it's not your job to do that. Your job is for you to look at your life from your angle and get the most out of it you can. You are living here to live a limitless, abundant, joyful life. You are here to do that. And when you're willing to open your mind to start to really consider who you truly are and be willing to go deeper and deeper and deeper into that, there have been times where I thought, okay, I'm pretty good. I think I know who I really am right now. And then something else comes in on that. Ah, there's another part I've got to look at. Here's another shadow that has come up, another part of myself where I go, oh, I'm not good enough there, or self-belief that comes in that I need to shine the light on. And it's a never-ending journey, possibly anyway. It may go on for the rest of my life and then on the other side for all I know. I don't know. But I find it quite exciting and wonderful when one of my clients or somebody in my coaching group or just a person I know says to me, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe that I could achieve this. I couldn't believe that that's who I really am. But now I understand that's who I am. Now I understand I can have a limitless life. I know that every now and then I'm going to have a day where I feel like, ugh, I'm not making a difference. I'm not good enough. I'm whatever. We're all going to have those days, and it's good. But if we can look at ourselves and go, yes, it's okay. I'm doing the best I can, and I love myself anyway. I love and accept myself anyway, because we have to love who we are at the core level. And this is always, always my message. Hence, let's just bring this up again, because I'd forgotten about it for like 30 minutes there. Let's just bring this up. Hence, the book. This is all about finding out who you are at your core level. And then within there are strategies to help you. So when somebody's a jerk to you, you have something in here that's going to help you shift your mind, help you get back into that limitless mindset, something you can play with that's going to make you go, oh, okay, I am letting go of that because it's not mine. I don't need it. When you can let go of it and detach from the emotions that are there. Where you can detach from any situation where you're so stuck to it that you don't know how to go on. You're like, I can't do it anymore. It's not happening. And you know what happens when we get stuck on things, when we get attached to things? We feel horrible. We do. We feel horrible. We feel like we can't get what we want. We feel like life sucks. We feel like everything is miserable. When we get stuck in those hard emotions, those difficult emotions, we get entangled in there. And then when we're entangled in there, we can't clearly. So there's strategies in there that help you detach from the emotions a little bit so you can backtrack and go, wait a minute, this emotion came from that, and that's not even true. Why am I feeling that? That's not true. So we start to kind of explore how we're looking at our lives and change it. The whole reason I wrote this book was to give people strategies so they could be happier, so they could use it as a resource. They could go back to it and go, oh, yeah, this is the one I want to use right now because this is going to help me, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to be happier. And I can guarantee you that every single strategy in this book works. I had to leave some out because I didn't have enough room. They just didn't fit in what I was doing, so I had to leave some out. And that's why I have my coaching groups. We talk about new ones in there. But this is to help people live their best lives. I have been playing with these ideas for years, decades, actually, now. Oh, and they work. And the reason I'm doing this is to help people. This is the reason I do the radio show. The reason I send out a Tuesday, every Tuesday I send out an Intention Tuesday email with my assistant helping me. We send out this email, just a thought, something to focus on to get you in your heart space, back as your soul, as who you are. Yes, I love this, Tom. Thank you so much. We're made of falling stars. It's time to shine. It's time to be who we are. This is the time to do it. Why wait? Okay, don't wait till someday. Do it now. Be you now. Don't wait. Okay, I have moved into preaching mode, haven't I? Yes, gotta love when that preaching comes in. Spirit always shows me where I need to go, you know? And it is interesting because, again, as I said, everything I talk about, we're just peeling away another layer. We're looking at things from a different perspective. We want to question things. If you like what I say, cool. If you don't like what I say, don't use it, you know? You have the power of choice. You get to do whatever you want. How cool is that? You can do whatever you want with anything. You don't have to do anything. Now, sometimes we do have to do things we don't want to do, but we do them for the end result. Okay, changing a diaper is a perfect example, but we do them for the end result. Okay, so how do we authentically ourselves without being a blunt person? I shall change that word. It's like such a thin line. You know, it is interesting. Sometimes people, when I talk about being yourself, doing what you want, saying what you want, sometimes people think to themselves, well, that means we would have a chaotic, more chaotic than it is now, we would have chaotic society where everybody is just not following the laws, not following rules, not doing things that keep our society running as smoothly as it might be, okay? So what we want to do to be authentically ourselves is the first thing we have to know who we are authentically. We are at our soul level a love and light being. We are love and light. Our love expresses itself in many different ways, kindness, caring, concern, peace, enthusiasm, joy, so many different things. We talked about some of that last week on the show last week where we talked about soul qualities. So here's the difference. We want to be our authentic selves who are beautiful, loving beings. People who go around all the time, I shouldn't even say it like that, that sounds bad. People who go around acting like jerks are not being who they truly are at their soul level. Okay, at their soul level. That's what I'm talking about, at the soul level. This does not mean sometimes that we aren't blunt with people. Sometimes we have to speak our truth so they hear it, okay? We're never going to change those other people. They are on their own path. Whatever soul they are wanting to express is their soul. Ours is different. If we are going to express ourselves authentically, we are going to express ourselves from that loving perspective as best we can. That doesn't mean sometimes we aren't going to lose it. We are going to lose it on occasion, definitely. There's definitely going to be some times where we get really mad at somebody, and that's okay. That's okay. That's part of being ourselves. We may be getting mad at somebody for good reason. Maybe they need to hear it that way, okay? Maybe that's the way we really have to express our truth. And that enthusiasm, passion comes through that way, and that's okay. Expressing ourselves as a soul level doesn't mean we're going to walk around all ha, 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 all the time, that everything's just wonderful, and that life is going to be perfectly easy from now on. We're going to be happy all the time. But I can tell you from my experiences with all my strategies in my book and everything else, that if we are striving to live as authentically as possible at our soul level, we will be able to handle life circumstances from a much higher perspective, and we will be happier. We will get through our challenges faster, and we will be happier overall. I am so much more happier, I don't know if that's a phrase, than I was way back, like near 2000, okay, when I started on this path. So much happier than I was then. Because I understand it, I get it. It's a different level of feeling the deeper we go in our layers as we explore ourselves and our souls. Believing in ourselves, we must believe in ourselves and trust ourselves. So although it might seem like a thin line between being a jerk and being ourselves, it depends on who ourselves really is. Okay? Now, some of us might be sarcastic. One of my best friends can be really sarcastic, and I know that's how she is, and I love it about her. I don't take it personally. Other people might take it personally because they have some work to do on it, how they feel about themselves. So there's so many different things. I could go on and on, and I probably shouldn't. What time is it? I probably should stop. So anyway, so that's my speech tonight, and I have gone on and on with all sorts of preaching at you. So I will, as soon as I, one more time, thank you very much for accommodating me tonight and my enthusiasm and excitement. Show you one more time. As soon as this comes, I have the purchase link. I will put it on my page. It will be everywhere. It will be on my website. And hopefully by tomorrow, you'll be able to go to my website and download Chapter 1 for free. Just click on ColleenVanderZijden.com or PsychicMediumColleen.com for the quick link. And you can download Chapter 1 for free, and you get a little head start before the printed or ebook version comes out. Okay, so you'll be able to do that and see everything that's going on. And you can sign up for my mailing list, whatever. And I'll post stuff, as will my assistant Ashley, post everything everywhere as well. And it's going to be amazing. And what else is there? So my website, please follow me there. Follow me on Facebook, Colleen VanderZijden, Medium and Intuitive Life Coach. I'm so close to crossing 3,000 followers. Who's going to be 3,000? I don't know. Okay, let's see. I'm very sarcastic. It's a struggle for people that don't know me. Well, and you know, even with that, sarcasm can come across with love if you do it right. Okay, I don't know what right means, and it would be right for you. Okay, if it comes across cruel, obviously there's an issue. But there is a difference between sarcasm with fun and sarcasm that's cruel. So people, you know, and don't forget, sometimes people, they don't know who they are. They're not comfortable, so they might take things personally that really you didn't mean it that way, okay? So we do have to be aware of that as well. So anyway, let's see. Thank you, Ray, and thank you all. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next week. I don't know about what yet, but Spirit will let me know. So you guys have fun, and as I said, I will let you know about everything as it's coming out with my book. And thank you for being on that journey with me, because some of you have given me some really awesome ideas here. So just if you're censoring yourself, disentangle, awareness, self-responsibility, check in, and then make choices that are true to you. Simple one this week. Okay, you guys have fun. Bye. Thank you.